There's another saying out there that's wrong. All truth is God's truth. People say that. Well, everything is God's truth, right? Counselors will say that. All truth is God's truth. Well, not from this perspective here. You see, there are things that might be observed and are true, but not in the context of what God says and what He has done and who He is.
Thanks for joining us for this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today you continue your message on having the mind of Christ. And a key factor in thinking biblically is what we spend our time filling our minds with.
You know, Dave, that's very true. And I'm often shocked at the choices that professing Christians make when it comes to their media influences, whether it's movies or TV or music or even talk radio. Who and what we choose to listen to really will influence how we think. So today we're going to hear from the Apostle Paul about what we should be filling our minds with. Our text is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
From within, out of what? The heart of men proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. And these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. It all comes from here and it goes out there. That's where our sin comes from. And before we act on sin, we've sinned way in advance in our minds, right? It's already happened, okay? It's already happened. One pastor writes, the greatest area of sin in the believer's life is not in the actions, but in the area of thought. There's a whole classification of sins that would have been called sins of the mind. What was Lucifer's first sin? Sin of a mind, right? I will be like the Most High. I will raise myself up, right? Pride. It's pride. We need to recognize that our sins begin in our thoughts. And so it is imperative that we pay close attention to what God is trying to tell us in the passage today, because He's trying to tell us to let our mind dwell on the right things. And He's going to give us a list. These are the right things. If it falls into these categories, you're thinking in the right area. Let your mind dwell on these things. And so we get some very practical categories how our minds should dwell. Now, let me give you one more caveat here about this. It's not talking about positive thinking. He's not saying just think positive. That's not what he's saying. Like the false teachers of old, like Schuller and Vincent Peale or Joel Osteen, those guys that say think positive and God will do all stuff. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying let your mind dwell on these things. And we'll talk about these things. So what are these things? Let's look at them back in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true. Now, in this grammar, I'm going to tell you something before I keep reading. Whatever, there's the Greek term whatever before each thing. Each one has that. But the is only in the first one, and it applies to everything. Okay? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever of good repute, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Think about them like a mathematical problem. Put your attention to these things. Put your attention to these things. And that's in the context of being anxious for nothing but praying about everything, right? And it takes discipline to learn to think about the things of Christ, as we'll see, rather than the things of me. Right? Because I, by nature, want to think about me. And you, by nature, want to think about you. That's who we are, right? And so we need to think about these things. So notice he gives some qualifying statements in end of verse 8. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise. This whole list has to do with things that are excellent. Things that are worthy of praise. Now, the only thing I know that's worthy of praise is the Lord, by the way, and the things that He does and what He says, right? The only things that I know are excellent are the things of the Lord and the things that He does and the things that He says. So whatever. Now this term whatever here doesn't mean like we think, you know, whatever, right? That's the way we see whatever, right? That's not what it means. It means literally as much as it is this. You could even say it this. Everything that is this. All that. Everything that's this, let your mind dwell on it. Let your mind dwell on it. And so he says here, to begin, there's six things, and then two summary statements. And the first one we're going to look at today and finish up with that, whatever is true. And then next week, we'll look at all the rest of them, okay? Because I believe the first one is the foundation for all the rest. And so we'll briefly look at this first one. Whatever is true. Now this is so important. This is so important because he's saying whatever is, and the is a continual habitual tense. Whatever is continually true. Whatever is continually and currently true in a sense. Right? I could say my shirt is blue, and it is, right? It's continually blue, isn't it, right? That's true, isn't it, right? Whatever is true. And we're going to see that whatever is true is the first on the list, and I believe it's there for a reason. It's the first characteristic. It's the basis of everything we are to be thinking about. You see, we need to recognize that truth is very important. That whatever is true is what we should be dwelling on, because so often we dwell on things that are actually not true. You know, when I look into the future, in a sense, wondering and worrying about what's happening, that's not true. I'm not God. I don't know what's going to happen. But I act as though I am when I'm worrying about it, don't I? Whatever is true. But we need to also take out the worldly definitions of truth also. There are some worldly definitions of truth. A lot of churches think of truth as whatever works. That's called pragmatism. Well, if it works, it's true, right? That's not what this is talking about. It's not whatever works. It's whatever is true. You see, churches that do ministry based on results rather than what God has declared to be true suffer the penalty, and the people suffer the penalty. Because the church is to be the pillar and support of the truth, Paul told Timothy. The pillar and support of the truth. And as we'll see, the truth is in God's word. Now also, there's another saying out there that's wrong. All truth is God's truth. People say that. Well, everything is God's truth, right? Counselors will say that. All truth is God's truth. Well, not from this perspective here. You see, there are things that might be observed and are true, but not in the context of what God says and what he has done and who he is. You see, the wisdom of man, James 4, is from below. And it's called earthly, natural, and demonic. And we are assaulted on all sides concerning truth. Satan, in the very beginning with Eve, tried to challenge the truth of God. Did God really say that? Right away, Satan wants to challenge that. So we need to understand what real biblical truth is. Now the term in Greek, aletheia, refers to that which was reliable, valid, real, genuine. It is truth, as always opposed to falsehood. As always opposed to falsehood. It's truth. Now to understand truth, I want to share some passages from Scripture that help us see it. Because, first of all, it is a characteristic of the living God. It is an attribute, in a sense, of the living God. Let me share some passages for you. John 3:33. He who receives his witness has set his seal on this, that God is true. God is, he's the real deal. He's true. Psalm 31 verse 5, into thy hands I commit thy spirit. Thou hast ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth. In Exodus, turn there to Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Exodus 34. Moses is saying to God, show me your glory. Show me your glory, I pray thee. And so God's going to show him his glory. He's going to show him his glory. And guess what? It has to do with his character. Character. Exodus 34, verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him, and as he called upon the name of the Lord, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. God's abounding in truth. Who keeps his loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, but yet no means will leave the guilty unpunished. After it was done, Moses hastened to worship him, to bow down and worship. So we have God as a God of truth. But yet we also see this in regards to the three persons of the Trinity. God is revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't understand it, but I believe it. One God, three persons. Now let me talk about the Father first. John chapter 7, 28 and John 8, 26, Jesus says, He who sent me is true. He who sent me is true. The Father is true. And then talking about the Spirit of God, Jesus said this in John 14, 16. And I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. John 15, 26. When the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth. John 16, 13. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own initiative. Because whatever He hears, He will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, Jesus says. He shall take of mine and disclose it to you. The Spirit of God, which we receive when we're saved, takes the truth of God and illumines it for us, discloses it to us. And then concerning Jesus Himself, what did Jesus say in John 14, 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. John 1:14, speaking of Jesus, He is full of grace and truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard Him and been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus. God is characterized by truth. So if I'm to let my mind dwell on whatever is true, first and foremost, I need to dwell on the person of the living God, don't I? And where do I find Him in the Word, right? I need to think about God. I need to deliberately think about what God has revealed about Himself, who He is, His character. That's one of our problems. We don't think about God enough. We think about us too much. I want to learn about Him. I want to know Him. I want to understand this God who gave Himself for me. We also see that God, because He is true, cannot lie. Titus chapter 1, He cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18, it's impossible for God to lie. And we find truth in His Word, in His Word. Let me share some verses. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 142, it's a long psalm. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and Thy law is truth. Verse 151, Thou art near, O Lord, all Thy commandments are truth. You want to set your mind on what is true? Look at His Word. Psalm 119, 159. Consider how I love Thy precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to Thy loving kindness. The sum of Thy word is truth. In David's prayer in 2 Samuel 7:28, I'll read this for you. He says, And now, O Lord, Thou art God, and Thy words are truth. And Thou hast promised this good thing to Thy servant. John 17:17, we have the Lord Jesus Christ saying, Sanctify them in thy word is truth. The Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 said, We should always give thanks to God for you, beloved brethren, by the Lord, because He has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Whatever is true is found in the Word of God. It has to do with the God of the Word, and we're going to see it has to do with His works. It has to do with His Word. And it has to do with His will that is found in His Word. Whatever is true. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Timothy is told to handle the Word of truth accurately. In 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul makes it clear that he is to preach the Word in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. For a time will come, he says, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will accumulate teachers according to their own desires, right? And turn aside to myths. He says here, he said they will turn their ears away from the truth and to turn aside to myths. So we see here God's word is true. If you want to obey this command, you got to be in the Word of God. And if you don't want to be in the Word of God, I don't know if the God of the Word is in you. You see, it's either sin's in the way. One pastor said, sin will keep you from this book, right? Or this book will keep you from sin. See, God uses His Word to change my thinking so that I obey Him and walk with Him rather than sin. And when I mess up, oh, praise the Lord, I'm forgiven because His Word says so, right? If I confess it. Oh, it's wonderful. Well, lastly, we see his works and his ways are in accordance with truth. His works and his ways. Daniel chapter 4:37, after Nebuchadnezzar came to faith, the world's leader of the Babylonian Empire, who was so prideful that God humbled him. And he says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true." What he does is true. And he says here, his ways are just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. Amen. He's humbled me. I hope he's humbled you. Psalm 111, verse 7, "The works of thy hands are truth." What God does is true. What God says is true. And God is true. So then, if he says whatever is true, let your mind dwell on these things, what should I be dwelling on? The truth of the Word of God. You see, I need to apply that to my heart. I need to take God's truth and renew my mind. See, I think this way, it's wrong. I look at my circumstances, it's wrong, it's sinful. I got to admit it. If I'm not willing to admit it, I'm in trouble. When I lean on my understanding, it's sin. But when I say, okay, Lord, what do you say? And I humble myself, I want to believe what you say rather than what I think. And so I go to the Word of God. I go to the truth of God, whatever is true. Now, what is true is opposed to that which is false. To that which is false. You see, the reality is there is falsehood out there. Scripture says, as the Lord Jesus spoke of the devil and those who are his, he says, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father, for he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him." Even believers can speak things that are not true, that sound pretty good and pretty wise, by the way. And I'll give you an example. Peter, the Lord Jesus is saying to Peter, "Hey, I need to go to the cross, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to be raised on the third day." And Peter's like, "Lord, forbid that. That's a terrible thing. No." And how does Jesus reprove him? Matthew chapter 16, turn there right now. Matthew 16. "Because our own understanding is not true. God's word is true." We can see and perceive situations, but we don't have all the information. And we need to allow God's word to filter in. Or when we lean on our own understanding, we're in trouble. When we trust in our own heart, we're in trouble. Doesn't mean we ignore reality. We apply God's word to that reality. Matthew 16:21. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and priests and scribes, and be killed and raised on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'God forbid it, Lord. This should never happen to you.'" Well, that sounds pretty reasonable. No one should ever be crucified, right? Well, God's plan was for Jesus to go to the cross. "But he turned him aside and said, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's.'" And I'll tell you right now, you may be a Christian, but maybe you are a stumbling block to Jesus because you are setting your mind on man's interests, which include your own, rather than God's interests, which are revealed in his word, which will always bring joy, by the way. You think the other stuff brings you joy? It doesn't bring you joy. It's a lie. God brings joy. Whatever is true, whatever is true, let your mind dwell on these things. Well, how are we to obey this command? Well, to obey this command, we need to have God's word dwelling richly in us. Colossians 3:16. We need to, as we heard in Psalm 1, meditate on it day and night. I'm going to go to God's word, and I'm going to think about it. I'm going to look at it and think about it like I would a mathematical problem. Lord God, put it through my mind. I'm going to renew my mind with his truth. I'm not going to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm going to set my mind on the things above, not the things of earth. Colossians 3. Now, some might criticize the Lord's people and say, "How can you take care of your family? How can you take care of your financial problems? How can you get through school? How can you, when you're focusing on these above things?" They'll say, "You're spiritualizing. You're too heavenly minded and earthly good." Well, the reality is, if you apply God's word to this life, you will be absolutely earthly good. You see, because he's God and we're not, and that's the problem. We think we're God, so we don't apply his truth. Whatever is true. Let me bring us to a practical level as we finish up. When you're in conflict with others, irritated by a spouse or someone, your actions reveal that you're not focusing on the truth. The truth is, love covers a multitude of sins. The truth is, we're to consider others as more important than ourselves. The truth is, there is no temptation which has come upon man except that which is common to man, and God will provide a way of escape that we should endure it. The truth is, we're to have the mind which was revealed in Christ Jesus. I got to change my thinking, and I need to confess if I've been thinking wrong. When we're not joyful, rejoicing in Him, grumbling instead, I need to remember we're to do all things without complaining and grumbling. I got to apply the truth to my heart. In His presence is fullness of joy. When I start to remember what He did for me, how wretched a sinner I am, what He saved me from, oh, it brings joy. When we're worrying, choosing to dwell on those things, which is essentially falsehood rather than the truth, I need to remember He is sovereign. He's working all things together for good. And His wonderful promise that He is near and that through prayer, His peace will guard my heart and mind. God applies truth. Yet, folks, when we do dwell on the truth, it will be manifest in our walk. Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. And I've got like three or four verses left and we're done for today. Psalm 25, verse 4. David prays, "Make me know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me." Lead me in thy truth, Lord God. "For thou art the God of my salvation, for I wait for thee all day long." Go up to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, verse 10. "For thou art great and do wondrous deeds." Verse 10. "Thou alone art God. Teach me thy way, and I will walk in" what? "Thy truth." I want to walk in your truth. "Unite my heart to fear thy name, and I'll give thanks to thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart." And then David says back in Psalm 26, and I'll read this for you, "For thy loving kindness is before me, and I have walked in thy truth. I do not sit with deceitful men or go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked." It's walking in truth. Psalm 145, verse 18, I'll read this. "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." Brother and sister, seek His truth. Don't let it go. Apply it to your mind and your heart rather than your own thinking. Your own thinking is corrupt. It's wrong. We're all sinful. Proverbs 23:23, "Buy truth and do not sell it." Buy it, do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 3:3, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you." Don't let it flee away. Keep the truth running in your heart. Back in our passage, whatever is true, let your mind dwell on these things. Let it dwell.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, give us some guidelines for applying what we've learned today.
Well, Dave, the reality is that God commands us to focus on whatever is true. And the only place we find the truth directly is in God's Word. Everything we do should be centered on the truth of God. Everything we think should be centered around the truth of God. We should be allowing our thinking to be filtered by God's truth. And this means we need to be men and women of the Word. And so how do we do that? Simply, we need to be in a position to allow God's Word to reign and rule over our thoughts on a daily basis. Well, how do we do that? You need to be putting God's Word into your mind, meditating on it day and night. Does this mean you walk around with a Bible in your hand every minute of the day? No, it's not what's in your hands that will change your life, but what's in your heart. through whatever means, we need to increase our consumption of God's Word, whether through reading or listening to teaching or Bible studies, whatever it might be, that should be our priority. So my challenge to you is to commit putting God's Word into your daily routine. It will change your life.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.